The Wild Winds of Possibility, Vonda McIntyre's Dream Snake. A piece he published on Bookview Cafe, June 2011. Dream Snake is in some ways a strange book, unlike any other in science fiction, which may explain the even stranger fact that it's not currently in print. When people ask me what SF books influenced me or what are my favorites, I always mention Dream Snake. Invariably, I get a warm, immediate response, "Oh, yes." And people tell me how much the book meant to them when they first read it, and ever since. But these days, many younger readers don't know it exists. The short story the book was based on won the 1973 Nebula. The book was an immediate success. It became, and still is, beloved. Its moral urgency and rousing adventure story are not at all dated. It should have gone from one paperback reprint to another. Why didn't it? I have some theories. Theory number one, ophidiophobia. The phobia is common and extends to pictures, even the mention of snakes. And the book features them even in the title, a heroine who lets snakes crawl on her, and she's named Snake. Oh, icky. Theory number two, sex. It's an adult book. Snake, though, is barely more than a kid, setting out on her first trial of prowess so that young women can and do identify with her, happily or longingly, as they do with Ayla in Jean Owl's Earth's Children books, though Snake's taste in men is far better than Ayla's. But could the book be approved in schools? The sexual mores are as various as the societies, including some very unorthodox customs, and Snake's sexual behavior is both highly ethical and quite uninhibited. She can afford to be fearless because her people know how to control their fertility through biofeedback, how to prevent insemination through a simple, learned technique. But alas, we don't. Given the relentless fundamentalist vendettas against witchcraft and pornography, read imaginative literature and sexual realism, in the schools, few teachers in the 1980s could invite the firestorm that might be started by a right-wing parent who got a hint of how young Snake was carrying on. Sexless hard SF or Heinleinian fantasies of girlish docility were much safer. I think this killed the book's chance of being read widely as a text in junior high or high school, and even now may prevent its being marketed to the YA audience. Theory number three, the hypothesis of gendered reprinting. It appears that as a general rule, books written by men get reprinted more frequently and over more years than books written by women. If this is so, Heinlein has always been given a handicap over McIntyre and will always have one. On the other hand, good writing tends to outlive mediocre writing, real moral questioning to outlast rant and wishful thinking. Dream Snake is written in a clear, quick-moving prose, with brief, lyrically intense landscape passages that take the reader straight into its half-familiar, half-strange desert world, and fine descriptions of the character's emotional states and moods and changes. And its generosity to those characters is quite unusual, particularly in science fiction with its tendency to competitive elitism. Take the birth control via biofeedback idea, certainly one of the great technological imaginative inventions, and appreciated as such by many of McIntyre's readers, although male critics have tended to ignore it because it's not hard tech and is subversive of gender dominance. McIntyre doesn't make it a subject of celebration, excitement, or question. It's taken for granted. It's how things are. Meeting a young man whose education has been so cruelly mismanaged that he doesn't know how to control his fertility, Snake is appalled but sympathetic. She knows how bitterly humiliated he is by what he can see only as a personal failure, like impotence, but worse, because for him to have a heterosexual relation might involve damage to the other person. They do manage to solve his problem. Yes, there is some wishful thinking in McIntyre's book, but it is so thoroughly, thoughtfully worked out in terms of social and personal behavior that its demonstration of a permanent streak of kindness in human nature is convincing, and as far from sentimentality as it is from cynicism. The writer Mo Bostern gave me a slogan I cherish, subversion through friendliness. It looks silly till you think about it. It bears considerable thinking about. Subversion through terror, shock, pain is easy. Instant gratification, as it were. Subversion through friendliness is paradoxical, slow-acting, and durable. And sneaky. A moral revolutionary, rewriting rules the rest of us were still following, McIntyre subverted us so skillfully and with such lack of self-promoting hoo-ha that we scarcely noticed. And thus she has seldom, if ever, received the feminist honors she is due, the credit owed her by writers to whom she showed the way. What I mean by sneaky, take the character called Meredith. When I first read Dream Snake, I thought the odd spelling of the name Meredith was significant, and tried so hard to figure out why this enigmatic, powerful person was called Mary Death, that I totally missed what's really odd about Meredith. Three-cornered marriages being usual in this society, Meredith is married to a man and a woman. Sure, fine, but we don't know whether as husband or as wife. We don't know Meredith's gender. We never do. And I never noticed it till, in conversation about the book, I realized that I'd seen Meredith as a man, only because I knew Meredith as a Welsh male name. There is no other evidence one way or the other, and McIntyre avoids the gender pronoun unerringly, with easy grace. June Arnold's The Cook and the Carpenter came out in 1973 to much acclaim by feminists and was read mostly by feminists. Dream Snake was published 5 years later as science fiction and read by everybody who read science fiction. How many of them even noticed that the gender of a character had been left up to them to decide, or refused to decide? I still remember the shock of realizing that I'd been well and truly subverted. All the stuff we were saying about gender as social construct, as expectation, was revealed to me as built solidly into my own mind, and by that revelation my mind was opened. I wish this beautiful, powerful, and highly entertaining book were back in print for the generation of SF readers who missed it, and all the young readers ready to have their mind blown open by the wild winds of possibility. Dream Snake is a classic and should be cherished as such.